Because Hotels.com lets me do me.
Hey!
And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop.
Hey!
I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hey! Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got a MyPillow, and I go everywhere with mine. Stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is calling the implementation of U.S. tariffs on Canada insulting and unacceptable. He speaks on NBC's Meet the Press. But the president's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, says he believes Trudeau is overreacting to the imposition of those tariffs on steel and aluminum.
Our tariffs are anything to do with our friendship and our longstanding alliance with Canada.
Speaking on Fox News Sunday, he added that good faith negotiations are always welcome, and he doesn't think things have broken down, calling this a trade dispute that Kudlow says can be resolved if people work together. Drought in the West continues to feed those fires in Colorado and New Mexico. They still only have a massive wildfire in northern New Mexico, fractionally contained, and hundreds of people have been evacuated because of the wildfire in southern Colorado. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
China's military buildup in the China Sea has the attention of the Trump administration. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
The United States will compete vigorously with China's actions in the South China Sea if needed, but Defense Secretary Jim Mattis insisted today that Washington is still willing to work with Beijing on a results-oriented relationship. Mattis said China's placement of weapons systems on man-made islands in the South China Sea is designed to intimidate and coerce others in the region.
China's militarization of the Spratlys is also in direct contradiction to President Xi's 2015 public assurances in the White House Rose Garden that they would not do this.
Mattis, speaking in Singapore, said, make no mistake, America is in the Indo-Pacific to stay. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
Defense Secretary James Mattis has made it very clear when sanctions on North Korea will be lifted. With more on this story, here's John Clemens.
Speaking from Singapore, Secretary Mattis said we can anticipate at best a bumpy road with the talks with North Korea and that the international sanctions will be lifted only after concrete steps are taken by Pyongyang to disarm.
North Korea will receive relief only when it demonstrates verifiable, irreversible steps to denuclearization.
U.S. officials continue to lay the groundwork ahead of the expected summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on June 12th in Singapore. For USA Radio News, I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Outsider Studios in Flemington. It's 60 degrees out there now, a little overcast. Sunny highs could hit 72 today. Slight chance of showers this evening. Otherwise, clear on the overnight. Low in the 50s. Could be a chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday. Increasing clouds with a high near 74. Chance of thunderstorms and showers on Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, low around 52. Slight chance of showers on Wednesday, only 20% though. Looks like sunny, high near 69. Cloudy on the overnight Wednesday night, sunny on Thursday. Friday again and into the weekend even. Looks like every day a slight chance of rain, 30 to 40% chance. So who knows? Hopefully everything need a little bit of rain, but not too much, right? Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow, getting together on Mondays Live. Also, forever after in podcasts through our archives at WHCRDB, 100 in Chamber Radio. Nice studio here on the second floor of the Chamber offices on Main Street in Flemington. And this weekend, so graduations, of course, college graduations are in full swing now. And we just had Memorial Day weekend last week. And now we're into, I guess, we call picnic season, barbecue, grilling, call it out in the Midwest grilling season. That's when everybody fires things up, right? We held a nice taco party for Steven, our owner at Jake's. His oldest son has finished school, college, and off to Washington, D.C. So we did a taco party, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. It's a good idea for people gathering, very casual, nice array of food. We want to remember also, when you're choosing to have gatherings or parties, food safety. And whether you're grilling or barbecuing or even having a cold picnic, or actually best good old fried chicken, room temperature, right? And this is where sometimes we can get into a couple of problems, especially if it's very warm. You know, yesterday was nice and breezy, a little cool. It wasn't too bad, at least around here. But you have to be careful of food temperatures. Food anywhere from above 41 degrees up to about 139, 137 actually. It's called the danger zone, and that's where bacteria can grow. Now, the good news is it doesn't happen right away. If you've got put out cold food, I usually tell people you've got a good 2 to 3 hours. Now, you'd like to keep your hot food piping hot, of course, or you design things that can be consumed at room temperature. If you're grilling, a lot of times you're grilling to order. People want a hamburger, or a hot dog, or a sausage, or chicken, fish, things like that. And other times you have things that can sit out. Now, you just grilled vegetables are an item that can take the heat, as it were. Especially dressed with a vinaigrette. Those things, there's no proteins in them, so you don't have as much of a chance of anything happening. Mayonnaise is a tough one. Of course, your mayonnaise salads are warm, but a lot of people have dips now of mayonnaise base dressings, and this is where you have to be a little bit careful. If you've got cold food, of course, make sure it's well chilled when you put it out. If you're making potato salad, for example, make sure that your potatoes or everything is chilled. We always, of course, even in restaurants, we keep buckets of mayonnaise chilled already, so when we're adding them to something, you don't have to worry about cooling them back down. And most people keep mayonnaise in the refrigerator anyway. So you've got a couple, 3 hours. And after that point, you really want to get the food under refrigeration. And again, most home refrigerators don't have a circulating air. Of course, a lot of the new ones, big ones out there, you can get that have the air circulating in them. And those will tend to chill the food better than just one that doesn't have a big fan in it, blowing the cold air around. If you've got hot food going in, make sure that you've got a good hour or so. Let it come down to at least some acceptable temperature. It might cool off till about 70 or 80 degrees, whatever room temperature is, and mainly get the steam off of it. And then you want to not pack it too tightly and not too deep. In a commercial kitchens, 4 inches deep is the maximum that we're allowed to chill food down. It just doesn't, it takes too long. 2 inches is better. So if you have hot food, split it up into containers that can kind of spread around the wrist, as it were. Now, the other thing, plastic, of course, is not a great conductor of cold. We use a lot of stainless steel in restaurants. Aluminum is fine. That will conduct the cold better. Glass will. Just be careful with plastic. Sometimes the thick plastic containers will not transmit the cold that well. It almost acts like a little bit of insulator. So, but chill your food down after it's been out. As I say, you've got probably 3 hours before things start to could get out of hand with the wee beasties, as it were. And just keep everybody safe. There's nothing worse than everybody at a party and then all of a sudden something happened. It could be, and there's no spoiled food. There's nothing bad, but something didn't get handled properly. You know the history of your food. And if something has been out for a couple of hours and then you're chilling again, you may not want to leave it out another 2 hours after that. If you're taking it out, having some leftovers, make sure they're consumed right away. Knowing the history of the food is that's why we label things and date them in restaurants so everybody knows what's going on. And another trick that I do with mayonnaise base, I like to lower the pH, meaning make them a little bit more acidic. So if I have a potato salad or macaroni or pasta, one that would maybe be mayonnaise-based, I will use lemon juice in the dressing instead of salt. It's kind of like a salt substitute. And even if somebody does put salt on, it's not going to come off as being overly salty. But a little bit of lemon juice in there really helps. Just get that acid level a little bit higher. If you choose not to use mayonnaise, of course, many salads can be made a nice mustard vinaigrette. Leaving the eggs out of there. You can still make a nice emulsion using Dijon mustard. And you just don't have that richness of the egg yolk in there. A sesame dressing, of course, tahini, ground sesame paste. That is a nice thickener also. And probably years ago, maybe that's why it was done, old boiled dressing. That's really out of the archives there, but more like almost like a white sauce. Because mayonnaise, believe it or not, mayonnaise, we don't consider it. It's a pantry staple, but it's a convenience food, just like ketchup. These things take time to make. Mayonnaise, of course, much safer. If you're making your own, you've got to watch the kind of eggs you're using, or you have to pasteurize them a little bit. And the flavor is superior, obviously. Tough to get the texture of commercial mayonnaise with the high-speed whips that they use are blenders, but for a treat, make a good mayonnaise with good olive oil and treat it again like potentially hazardous food in that you're not going to leave it out too long. But so mayonnaise, ketchup, in fact this week is National Ketchup Day, tomato ketchup. I have to clarify that June 5th, I believe. That's tomorrow. And June 8th is World Oceans Day. So today we'd like to, go through a few ideas. Actually, explore ketchup a little bit in variations. My father always said summertime was mayonnaise season with all the salads, but I think in his case it could have been, he loved ketchup anyway. He used to make his own chili sauces and things later on. In life, he's, I think, trying to watch the sugar and salt intake, which we'll talk about. But mayonnaise certainly is ketchup is certainly the base of many things that we use during grilling season or picnic season, if you will. But World Oceans, We need to, well, we're going to talk about soft-shell crabs. Nice seasonal, regional item that pops up around this time every year. So when we come back to the table, we'll go swimming in the ocean first, and then we'll look at ketchup. Chef Bill's Table. Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the
teas? Have you had enough of mine? Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, we're back at the radio, back at the table here. Chef Bill's Table at WHCRDB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So, World Oceans Day, June 8th. And what does that mean, right? We all, of course, love seafood. And in some areas, probably certain species are getting fished out. Of course, the soft-shell crab is one of those that still... because as it grows, it's seasonal. So the season starts in the Chesapeake right around now. Well, a little bit, maybe, yeah, right after Memorial Day. Down in the Gulf in Florida, of course, the season's a little bit longer. It starts in April. I know early on that's where we'll source some soft-shell crabs from. And it'll run till October, November when the water gets below 50 degrees, of course. Crabs, they're not going to, I guess, not going to pack on the weight anymore, not going to grow. Well, they grow by shedding their shell, just like lobsters do. and then right away start to grow a new one. Now, something, if you're thinking about road erosion today, something that we can think about and probably have seen it in the news. I know we've made some changes at Jake's. The plastic straws, especially the little sip sticks, they've become a way of life. I really don't get it in certain beverages. If you're having a martini or a Manhattan, why you would use a sip stick, but people have gotten used to having, I mean, they could use a stir, a bamboo stir maybe, but plastic, you know, for using it for that few seconds or a couple of minutes, I understand beverages when you're traveling, you've got a top on it and you put a straw on it. And the coffee cups years ago used to have a little flip-top tab that would fold back and you sipped it like that. When I watch people, even, you know, so water service, people order something and there's the straw. And even if you don't use it and set it aside, you know, people just conditioned to bring straws. And these things, I tell you, in restaurants at least, commercial operations, they get into the plumbing, especially the little cocktail ones. Somehow, through strainers and everything else, they'll still get in there. They clog things up. They don't break down. There's a, probably, besides other stuff that we've thrown in the ocean, probably those straws, you know, I mean, we have to start somewhere. I know some municipalities are trying to ban single-use plastic bags. You know, if we can recycle things, it's one thing, but normally these things aren't getting recycled. You have recycling in, say, in our restaurant, we have a bin for all the mixed recycling things, but do people take the time to throw a plastic straw in there? You know, it's human, it's just habits. You know, as careful as you can be with other things, it seems the straws. So we've started using paper straws, and unfortunately, right happened. This thing is like caught on like a movement, and the few companies that manufacture them are getting kind of backed up on their orders. I don't think they anticipated that many people would be involved. But starting with restaurants, and there's expensive ones. There's metal ones you can wash out. I don't know if that's the answer, but I think one of the answers is just stop using so many straws. The paper ones now, I don't remember when I was a kid in school, you got your little, you know, carton of milk. It was, the wax cardboard carton, but the straw was paper. Now, those straws wouldn't be any good in a hot beverage. They would collapse, of course, but they were paper straws. So I don't know what happened to those. I guess plastics became easier and cheaper or better. I don't know. But anyway, thinking about world oceans, think about how many times you use straws that you may not need to. I understand sometimes it's just what you should be using for a beverage, but, you know, for a glass of water or a glass of iced tea, I don't know that we need a straw for that. Anyway, that's my rant on helping take care of the ocean. So you don't want the fish eating the plastic either. If they're getting, that's a recycling right back into our diet, I don't know. But why would we want to risk that? And also water temperatures. I know the warming thing back and forth, but definitely is changes in current temperatures. The fish are migrating to a little bit colder waters. You can see it off the Jersey Shore, certain species. The fish are not going to stick around and try to adapt. They're going to move. You know, if we get a little bit too hot, we turn the air conditioner on. But wildlife doesn't do that. They just move to where the water's the right temperature. And it can only be a couple of degrees. You know, nature, I mean, humans can adapt to a variety of temperatures, and a lot of mammals can, but there's a lot of life out there that can't. They can't adapt to that slight change, so they head to better pastures, I guess. So anyway, soft shell crabs. What are they? They're simply the blue crab, although in Asia, I believe there's a spider crab. There's another one, a red crab that they will use there. But for most of us, what we know is the blue crab, which are available year-round, hard shell crabs. You get your nice spicy water there and boil them up and have a hammer and a big sheet of paper on the table and just go at it. It's a lot of work to get all the meat out of them, but it's fun. It's a fun food. You know, you're eating with your hands like we talked about a few weeks ago. You know, so many of the good things to eat we don't need a utensil for. So you've got the blue crab. So once a year, water temperatures warm up, and it's after the first full moon in May, they start to shed their shells. So they're growing, they're fat, they're nice, and the shells will come off, and then really the window is very close, about 2 or 3 hours. If they're not taken out of the water, the shell will start to grow again, of course, because when they don't have a shell, they're defenseless. They can't fight, the claws, nothing works, right? It's all soft. But it's the best time to get the crab. They're all meat. And the outside, if you think, oh, I'm eating a shell, but, you know, not really. It's, you know, a little bit, can be a little chewy once in a while. But really, it breaks down just like a thin-shelled shrimp there. It's not, it's the skeleton, the exoskeleton, the outside. Tasty. When you're cooking them, of course, when you do a crab boil, the shell is part of what makes the broth taste good. And with the soft shells, you've got everything. So buying them, obviously you want to see them live. Because like most shellfish, once they kick, they don't last too long. They decompose very quickly. So you want to see them live. If they're dressed already, that's one thing. Again, with any seafood, go by your nose. You can sniff them. And also the texture of them. If they feel mushy, if they don't feel nice and plump, then they may have some age to them. And although they're not going to hurt you, they're just not going to be the right texture. As I said, the protein disintegrates or breaks down pretty quickly. So if they're live, and your fish person will clean them for you, or you can clean them yourself, which is another way. Get them, you know, keep them live until the last minute. Or you can clean them, keep them very cold. A couple, 3 days you probably have before you should be using them. You don't want to keep them any longer than that. And, of course, you know, why would you want to wait, right? You've got these nice soft shell crabs. You're going to eat them right away. Cleaning them, instructions to do it. You need to we cut off the eyes and the mouth and then take out the insides there. The gills have to be, you could snip them off with shears, and then the tail, and then everything else is ready to go. A lot of times people like the soft shells fried, first of all, because fried seafood tastes good, right? Nice and crispy. And also, if the shell, it kind of lessens the impact of that shell texture. You've got a nice crisp coating out there, so you're not really noticing that you're eating the shell also. I know on the grill, if you choose to grill them, we like to marinate them for a little while, not more than 15 or 20 minutes. You don't need to tenderize them. You just want to add a little flavor. You've got that nice toasted aroma from the shell, almost not really burning, but getting nice and, you know, red. It'll turn reddish like a lobster. Might get a little char in there. And normally coleslaw would be served, or some kind of slaw on the sandwich, something crunchy. Again, you've got these crunch textures working, so you don't notice the fact that, you know, maybe the legs or something might be a little crunchy. Not saying the shell is hard, but it is a different texture. And of course, the main crab meat, the body meat there is, of course, everything's right there. It's nice. We always present them kind of on their back, so the nice tender underbelly there is what's showing. That's what people can dig into. Most common way, we serve them in a variety of ways at the restaurant at Jake's. The sautéed seems to be the most popular. Oh, by the way, when you're buying them, watch the sizes of the soft shells. So you've got four levels in the grading, and the hotels are the smallest ones, and they start at about a minimum of 4 inches from tip to tip on the little points of the shell there, and up to 4.5 inches. Then any over 4.5 inches to 5 is called a prime. Jumbo is from 5 to 5.5 inches. That's the most common one, I think, in restaurants, although we like the whales that are 5.5 inches and over. And sometimes the grading, again, you know, you're measuring once in a while, you know, maybe a little bit smaller. You know, some jumbos might sneak in with the whales. We usually buy the whales. They're the most expensive ones, but when we're serving a single crab, say on a sandwich or a tempura on a salad, we like to make sure that the portion is ample. We've got a break for news at the half hour here, and we'll come back and talk some more about some soft shell crabs, how we cook them on Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Lawyers for President Trump say they do not believe the president can legally obstruct any investigation. In a letter obtained by the New York Times, the Trump legal team explains the president cannot do so because he has the authority to halt any investigation. On another front, the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says
he has no intention of pardoning himself, but he probably doesn't say he can't.
Giuliani is saying President Trump has the power to pardon himself, but probably wouldn't do so because
ramifications of that would be tough. Pardoning other people is one thing. Pardoning yourself is another.
He was speaking on ABC's This Week. Hawaii is not the only place on the globe where a volcano has been erupting. At least 25 people are dead in Guatemala from a violent eruption of the Fuego volcano. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Back at Chef Bill's Table here. How many bridges I got to cross? Soft shell crabs. If you've never had them, you should try them at least once. Yeah, it's one of those items that really still has to run up the season. And a lot of the harvest is frozen for year-round use because some places like to serve them year-round. And frozen, they freeze pretty well, just like any shellfish. Get a good reputable company there. They, you know, Handy or one of those. I don't know if Metamkin freezes them, but Handy is the big one. And we used them back in the 60s. We used to get them frozen, of course. We're inland in Syracuse there. We're not really having access to the fresh ones at the time. And we would put them on a big fisherman's platter. We'd defrost them and bread them and fry them and always impressive with the claws. They're kind of sticking out. When you fry them, this is what happens, of course, if you, especially a tempura. We'll do a tempura batter, and we do it a little bit thicker than, you know, usually you think of a tempura batter, you almost can see the product through it. We'd go a little bit thicker. It's just with the, ours has a little bit of leavening in it, a little baking powder, or if you're using right away, you can make it with club soda and your rice flour or some corn flour, regular flour, and you'll get that lightness from it, from the carbonation, CO2, but that's what the baking powder or baking soda will do, give it that little bit of lightness. Dip them. Of course, you've got to, when you're frying, and this takes a deep fryer, and this is where sometimes, you know, if we have a fryer pot at home, that's fine. You can also shallow fry. The tempura, it's easy in a restaurant, because in the deep fryer you've got two baskets, so we'll get the crab in there in the one basket starting to fry, and then we'll put the other basket over top. It nests, it doesn't completely fit in there, so it kind of holds the product down into the deep fat, so it's cooking all the way around, and very, very fast process, nice and crispy. We've been serving that lately on a bed of kimchi fried rice. It's one of those things I discovered. I did a show on it quite a while ago. But for fried rice, of course, you're using leftover rice. It's the best. Don't try to make it with hot rice. And we use the kimchi, which is that nice fermented Korean cabbage with a little bit of spice in there, a little hot peppers, kind of like... It's like doing sauerkraut, right, in another country. But the kimchi's got very unique flavor, and what we'll do is start, that will be kind of our vegetable, if you will, in the fried rice. And we also add a little gochujang paste, that nice, again, fermented products. The Korean hot chili paste goes in there, not too much, though, a little spice, but... You've got the rice there to kind of overcome that. So, like with any fried rice, we'll start with some scallions and garlic and ginger. Get those into the hot pan. And then we'll add the chopped kimchi. We drain it, chop it, and then your cooked rice goes in there. And you're going to do that very high heat, stir fry, keep it moving around, and then a little bit of soy. And a little bit of sherry. The soy gives it a little. You need a little bit of salt in there. It also helps to brown the rice a little bit. And you don't need it to be, you know, really brown. It's really just a good way to reheat rice. And you need that nice chilled rice. It's hard to bring that back unless you have a steamer. You know, if you microwave it, it's always clumped together. But fried rice, always a good way to use leftover rice. And we will actually do a little bit of the scrambled egg in there too. Now, you can do that up front if you like. We'll do it in a separate pan. We take a couple of eggs and beat them just like you would for scrambled eggs. We add a little mirin to it. This is now borrowing a little bit from Japanese, as we're doing kind of a fusion thing here, right? So we've got the mirin. It sweetens the egg a little bit, and where normally you would for scrambled egg, you might add a little, tablespoon of water or milk to it. So we put a little bit of sweet mirin wine in there, and then very quickly scramble the egg, break it up, and that goes into the rice just for, you know, another texture, another a little protein in there. It's actually pretty good. The gochujang at the end to taste, a few drops of that, and you've got a nice bed for your soft shell crab. Another version of that, again, tempura, will do. We call it an Asian salad, but, you know, it's got, well, the Chinese cabbage in it. We'll use a sesame, an emulsified sesame vinaigrette, some of the spring mixed lettuce, not too much, or it could be romaine, could be ice cream. You want crunchy. Again, you want these accompaniments to be crunchy. Shredded carrots, snow peas, you can julienne them or... either in the strips or you can cut them in half. We'll use a little bit of blanched broccoli in there. I mean, asparagus would work. Peppers, nice julienne peppers. Anything like that. We like that salad even as is. I know my family likes it. It's one of those safe salads you can have sit out. There's no mayonnaise in it. It's a sesame vinaigrette. It's all vegetables. Sometimes the way to enhance that is to make some chilled sesame noodles and put those on the bottom of your bowl and then have the salad on top. And even if you like some crunchy noodles on top for another change, you've got something where you've got a little pasta, some of the salad. It's a nice side dish for a outdoor or indoor gathering. And as I said, it's can take the heat. It doesn't break down in the heat. You know, your vegetables are crispy. The dressing is safe, and there you have it. We'll serve a sriracha mayonnaise on the side of that, almost like the sushi places would call it a dynamite sauce. Normally that's the We'll use some of the sriracha and mayonnaise and actually a little bit of the sweet Thai chili sauce. Give a little sweetness there. So you've got, of course, you know, it's America, right? We need something to dip. We've got fried food, but we still need something to dip it in, right? So, but that combination works very well with a soft shell crab. Now, sautéed, which is the old favorite, doing that this way for years, we dredge them in flour. We use Wonder Flour. Some recipes if you want to put them in milk first, that's fine. More of a Miller style, French style. It'll help a little bit more of the flour stick to the crab. I know when we deep fry a crab for a sandwich, we do that. We don't bread them with the breadcrumbs or anything like that. I mean, you can, but it's kind of overkill. We'll soak them in milk briefly and then dredge them in a flour mixture that incorporates some corn flour, some leavening, some seasoning. If you want to replicate that, it's 50% all-purpose flour and then 50% of... you could use a fish and chip batter or an onion ring batter or a fish fry batter mix. And what you look for on the ingredients is corn flour, not so much cornmeal. Some people like the soft shells done with cornmeal. Again, a lot of crunch there. I think I'd rather have them sautéed or grilled than put them in a corn taco, right? A corn tortilla, if you want that. But anyway, look for a mix that has corn flour as one of the ingredients. So if regular flour, corn flour. You don't want something with breadcrumbs in it. In a pinch, you could actually do half flour and half cornstarch. But we always would like to, you want to give it a little puffiness, so you would put maybe a little baking powder in there. And then, of course, some salt and pepper and a little onion powder, if you like. Season it up a little bit. So you could use that flour as a dredge, or you could use it milk first and then the flour and then fry them. If you have for sauteed, I always start them. We'll start with canola oil. If you don't have clarified butter, you want to, and you could use olive oil if you like. But start them on the shell side down, and we'll cook them for a few minutes on that side. You want that shell to get nice and you'll smell it. You'll smell it toasting there. You want to get that nice flavor there out of the shell. And once they're going to cook, 60-70% of the way on their back, and then flip them over, and that's when we hit it with a little bit of white wine and lemon juice, some parsley, if you want to, then we'll have some scallions and garlic, the green onions sliced thin. Those are very good in there. And then, of course, finish it with a couple of pats of unsalted butter, some parsley. And you're really just going to shake the pan and let the wine evaporate a little bit and create that nice creamy sauce. So you've cooked the crab most of the way through on its shell side. Flip it over, and you're just going to finish. And that's really all there is to it. You don't need to put them in the oven or anything like that. And if you're doing them for a crowd, you could do two or three or four crabs at a time, put them in a pan. I mean, you can keep them warm in a, say, 175-degree oven. Would be a good holding temperature. You don't want to overcook them. And of course, if you're firing up the grill, as I said before, again, grilling seafood be a great mixed grill, right? Have some lobsters or lobster tails and some soft shell crabs and maybe some oysters and clams, all this nice Jersey Shore harvest, right? Or Chesapeake harvest. Anyway, I would still do quick marinade, and I would do the shell side down, let it toast, and cook most of the way through that way. Then you can turn it. You can put the lid down if you want. Just watch the temperature. They really don't need to be cooked that much, any kind of seafood like that. Anything, fillets, fish steaks, unless they're very thick, they really don't take too long over a hot grill. In fact, I wouldn't use the hottest heat. I would put it on medium heat. And just, turn them, baste them. Always nice to baste them with some butter or olive oil if that's your thing. If you're putting them in a marinade, just like any fish or any fresh product, if you're putting them in a marinade first and you're going to use some of that marinade to baste with, either separate some before you put the food in, put some on the side for a baste, or if you've already marinated the food, just bring it to a simmer and use that as a baste. You want to make sure that you're not putting a raw food product onto cooked food. That's another safety issue. You want to keep everybody alive and well this summer, right? Anyway, we're going to come back. We've got, it's ketchup season, right? We've got to talk a little bit about ketchup, the other thing that goes with the mayonnaise, right? But I think probably more than mayonnaise would be ketchup, all the uses we go through or use ketchup for in summertime cooking. We'll be back at the table in a couple of seconds. We've got a message or two here.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at Chef Bill's table here, 100inchamberradio.com. So ketchup day is June 5th. I don't know why we need a day to celebrate ketchup. I think every day is ketchup day, right? Anyway, of course, we all have our favorites. Market's pretty dominated by a couple of brands, although I just... you'll see some, store brands, things like that. I know commercially we can buy a house brand, any of the broadline distributors, they have their own recipe for it. Sometimes, I think mostly they'll just have somebody pack it for them. So it could very well, if you prefer Heinz, that, who you're buying from might be packed by Heinz. Who knows? Just paying a little bit less because if not supporting the advertising. So ketchup, tomato ketchup, the brief history, you may or may not realize, of course, comes from Southeast Asia. It was thin. It was more of a preserved fish. I think that from there came fish sauce. From there came Worcestershire sauce. Of course, the English embraced it. Because you've got to figure, tomatoes were relatively late on the scene. Mushrooms were the preferred choice in England for ketchup. I think my sister brought some years ago. And it's thin. It's not thick like tomato ketchup. Tomato ketchup kind of revolutionized what it was. And again, initially, probably a way to preserve the harvest. You're making your tomato paste. You're cooking it down. You're preserving it with vinegar. And, of course, you've got some sugar to offset the vinegar. But that was, like many things, that was grew out of necessity. Tomatoes were seasonal. Of course, now we've figured out how to grow them year-round. But when they were seasonal, that was, you took, you know, your harvest all comes at once, and what am I going to do with it? And I know the Italian lady I worked with, she used to make the tomato puree. She would buy the, what they call the soup tomatoes, very ripe ones, and process them where it takes away the skin and the seed, and then she would pack the jars and put a basil leaf and a pinch of salt in each one, and then hot process them in the water bath. And, you know, she'd make maybe 100, anywhere from 50 to 100 jars, and that was, you know, your quart or so of sauce for a Sunday dinner, or at least your tomato puree to start with. And ketchup, same way. You cook it down, again, the vinegar. The ketchup doesn't need the refrigeration the way, say, a tomato sauce would because of the vinegar content in it. Although, I know in the restaurant, we do store it in the refrigerator once they're open. It's just safer. But around home, I mean, unless you're not using too much of it, it's perfectly safe on the shelf. It may darken. That was the idea of the narrow bottles. Keep the air minimum air contact. You know, my sister thinks she feels that it's because of the high fructose corn syrup. If you buy a ketchup that's not made with that, you don't get the darkening. But who knows? But that's probably the downside to it now, is because as a sweetener, that's what kind of took over back in the 80s. Making your own, a lot of work. You got all the nice spices in there, but. You know, you can, in order to control the salt and sugar and those kind of things that you may be looking to cut back on, it would make sense. Now, one of my favorite things to do is take the tomato sauce and add some balsamic vinegar to it. And you could do that to taste. And what you've got is something with really no added sugar except what's in your tomatoes. And you've got the acid, of course, and this is, you know, a different flavor profile. It's a tomato sauce with herbs instead of a the cinnamon and cloves and all the things that are in ketchup. But, you know, it does work if you like that kind of tangy, tomato-y thing and you're looking to not use too much sugar. It makes it, you know, like a tomato balsamic dressing for salad even. I know we used to make we would call a steakhouse dressing for spinach salad. And it was onion chopped and vinegar and sugar. And you whirl that around in the food processor until it becomes a puree and then mix that in with the ketchup. So it would take more vinegar and more sugar. Of course, that's, again, a lot of salad dressings end up with that in there. And then your onion flavor, but puree the onion so it doesn't... It almost like onion juice. And that was kind of a thinned out ketchup. I think there was a Catalina dressing that used to be, it looked like that almost. You're going to put a little oil in that too. So stretching it out a little bit more, it's not all just vinegar and sugar. But again, that tomato dressing, tomato vinaigrette, and with the ketchup, a nice cooked, preserved tomatoes, a little umami in there. That's one of the foods that kind of gives you that. The funny thing about ketchup, though, is even though it's been cooked so long, if you want to flavor ketchup or season it by frying it, it does change the characteristics of it. I've made a spiced ketchup before, a little garlic and ginger and red chili flakes, and stir fry those just a little bit, just to, you don't want to burn them. You don't want to burn garlic. And then add the ketchup, and it, you know, might splatter a little bit. It's kind of like some chili sauces in Mexican cooking will do that. They'll take the puree and then fry it in some hot oil, and it just it does change the look and the taste of it. Even though something that's been cooked for hours, you think, well, you can't do anything more to it. But when you fry it, it does change it. I think even in a fried cauliflower, even in Indian cuisine, it's not really ketchup, but that kind of sauce that would coat the cauliflower. Now, the other popular thing, of course, chili sauce, which we use in our cocktail sauce for seafood. We always use half ketchup, half chili sauce. Chili sauce, at least if you're buying your standard ones, are very similar to ketchup. They've got some peppers in them, a little coarser texture, a little bit different flavoring, probably more the diced onion than onion powder, but gives you a little bit better body with your cocktail sauce instead of just with ketchup. And then, of course, there's the sweet Thai chili sauce that's just chilies and sugar and a little bit of vinegar, and that's your Thai chicken wings, things like that. That's you see that more prevalent now, too. The other thing that's happened, of course, is salsa as a condiment has become very, well, for years now, very popular, probably as much as ketchup. And then now the sriracha, which is made from the chili peppers, is the other little darling out there for, I know we use it in several applications at the restaurant. People like it. It's got the good kick to it. You don't need too much of it. But that's, again, this condiment, preserved condiment that adapts well in recipes. And we think of barbecue season. I mean, most barbecue sauces, when you start them, what are you starting with? You're starting with ketchup. I know I make one at every summer at Jake's. It's more of just a chicken barbecue sauce, although it's great with shrimp. And I use part chili sauce and part ketchup, so it's not smooth and thick like a barbecue sauce, but there is, you know, some extra vinegar in there. And actually, nice thing about barbecue sauce is they're pretty much fat free, so is ketchup. My barbecue sauce does have a little bit of oil in it, so, but that's as far as I'm going with the secret. So enjoy ketchup in its many forms in your recipes. If you want to make some, it's a lot of work, but you can, again, control your flavors a little bit better, your sugar content, maybe if you're avoiding the high fructose corn syrup. Again, the quick one, tomato sauce and some balsamic vinegar. But enjoy it no matter what, because it is grilling season. And remember to take care of our oceans. Enjoy seafood, sustainable, responsible seafood, but also let's do our part to keep the trash out of the ocean. Chef Bill signing off next week. Oh, we're going to get ready for Father's Day, right? Another food holiday coming up around the bend. Talk to you soon.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as the highest court in the land gives a big win to a Christian baker in Colorado as the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the man who refused to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. The baker said he refused to do so on religious grounds. In a very narrow opinion, the high court said the Colorado Civil Rights Commission violated the baker's rights by displaying hostility about his religious beliefs. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court has tossed out a lower court ruling on abortion. That case out of Texas involved a teenager who was an illegal immigrant and had an abortion last year while she was in federal custody. The Supreme Court said the lower court has to dismiss a verdict as moot since the abortion's already happened. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better.